We had spoken earlier today about the 13th day of August 2004. Those of you that were here know all about the Eye of the Storm, don't you? As well as these other events that the song sang about. It's a very beautiful song. Thank you, Pam. In the book of Philippians, the third chapter, beginning with verse 1, Paul writes for us this: "Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It's no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For we who are circumcised, we serve Christ by his Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence." Dear Lord, we have heard several names mentioned today of those who are loved ones and friends of ours that need help. And I know personally there are several others that need your help, facing treatments, facing surgery, facing recovery, facing loneliness and heartbreak. We ask your Spirit to be upon them, your blessing to be especially with the doctors and nurses and the caregivers that watch over them. Help us to be strong, Father, and know that you have all things and have us in your hand. For our nation, we ask your help through times of war and through times of peace, through times of happiness and through times of sadness, through times of prosperity and through times of adversity. We need you to be with us and watch over us. Be with our political leaders, be with our spiritual leaders, be with our community leaders, be it the men and women in foreign fields, in service, or in the military, and our first responders and teachers and over here. So guide us with your blessing and be with the speaker this day. I pray in Christ's name, amen. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Have you ever been happy? I mean, really happy. Not just like, this is really cool sunset. I mean, just things are going. You say, God, this is just wonderful. I'm glad I was born. I'm glad I have a beautiful country to live in. I wish the rain wouldn't come every afternoon, but, you know, I don't know. It stopped the fire, so we'll guess we'll take that. But life sometimes can be so good, we take advantage of it and just expect it. I guess if when you were growing up, your mother had steak and eggs and baked potato for every meal, before long you say, well, it's just steak and eggs and baked potato, no big deal, because we got used to it. And too often in our daily lives, we have gotten so used to the goodness that God has given us, we take it for granted. About 6 weeks ago, I had a lung infection. I coughed a lot. I hurt a lot. I got dehydrated. I lost 22 pounds in 4 days. Couldn't keep it off. I finally got to hold it back on. But for a while, I'm thinking, have I felt this bad all my life? And then a few days after all the medicine and the da-da-da-da-da, that you know how that da-da-da's go, I said, this is what it feels like to be healthy again and to feel good. I like it better. Do we get so satisfied with the goodness we cannot handle when hard times come in front of us? Or should we say, God got me here. I know he'll take care of me. Whatever the solution is, whatever the answer is, I just got to depend that he's got me in his hands. 1955-56, back when you could understand the words on the radio. You remember those days? Some of you can remember those days. Back when we had AM radio and they played music, there was a church song that was number one in the country. And it went something like this, but I'm not going to sing it. But the words were, he's got the whole world in his hands. And you go through verses, me and you, baby, mama, papa, you name your grandparents. I mean, you could take it for as long as you wanted to go. But he's got the whole world in his hands. And if God loves us so much that he created this world for us, I do believe he's got good things in his mind for us. Now, there are going to be times when we're going to be hungry and thirsty and sitting in a parking lot instead of I-75 because it becomes a parking lot. And there are going to be times that our friends may let us down. And there are going to be times that we're going to be ill and we're losing friends. But God still has us in his hands. Why? because he created us. The book of Genesis, the first one. The one we said, well, I'm going to read through the Bible this year, and we get about halfway through Genesis. There's too many words and too many names and too many begattens, and we quit. But chapter 1, verse 26, let us make man in our image. Now, us is plural, and our is plural. So God and Christ, with the Holy Spirit, made man in his image. Now, if we're in the image of God, do you think God wants to be unhappy all the time? Do you think he wants to be stressed out all the time? Do you think he wants to be disappointed all the time? Of course it's not. But there are times, we are told in the Scripture itself, that God, one time says, God grieved that he created man. So he sent the flood to destroy all but the eight that were in the ark. So sometimes he has second thoughts. And at times we do as well. But what we need to understand is there is a good purpose. I say, rejoice in the Lord. That's the one thing that doesn't change. 1964, 63, we had a new restaurant on New Circle Road in Lexington. Had two big yellow arches in the front of it. You remember, they called them golden arches. They look yellow to me. McDonald's. Well, a hamburger for 15 cents. French fries for 12 cents. And a Coca-Cola for a dime. And we could eat a whole lot, sack full for a dollar. Try going to McDonald's today and buying a hamburger for 15 cents. That wouldn't get you the pickle. Or the French fries for 12 cents. Or the Coca-Cola for a dime. Well, you get free refills now. I found that out. Things have changed in our life. When I was growing up, we paid 15 cents a gallon. We pay more tax than that for gasoline now, don't we? Times have changed. But do we sit around wondering about the old days and we say, I can handle this? Because most of us are making a little bit more money than we did in 1965 as well. It floats that way. Rejoice in the Lord, because God loves us. There is no trouble for me to write the same thing to you again. How many times as a child growing up did you say, Mama, do you love me? Mama, give me a kiss. Mama, hug me. You just wanted that reassurance. I think we need to reassure God over and over and over because it helps us to know that we love him. And so often, we're really the first one to ask for what we want and the first one to complain when we don't get it. But then when it happens what we want, we forget all about it. You remember the 10 lepers that Jesus met on the road? And they begged and begged to be healed. And he healed them. And he told them to go and talk to the priest to be declared clean of leprosy. And nine of them took off and never came back, but the one came back and thanked him. Do we thank God enough for what he's done for us? I don't think enough. What's that song, Every Time I Hear a Baby Cry? Sometimes we need to appreciate what God has done for us. Now, unless it's 3 o'clock in the morning, then we just say, be quiet, child. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh, for they who are the circumcision, we who serve God, is by his Spirit. I don't know if any of you all have, that's almost missed that step there. I don't know if any of you all have noticed it, but there's an election coming up in November, a year from now. And you might hear something about it in the next 14 months. And whatever they say, either one side you're going to like or the other side you're not. But they're going to be pretty serious about it in their own mind that how they feel. There's other things going on in this world that could just aggravate you. Becky and I have been getting a lot of spam calls lately. Y'all know what a spam call is? And they'll ask you questions. And they want you to say, I don't talk to them. Don't give my name. Is this so-and-so? Don't say yes. Don't say no. Because they have opportunities to take from you. If they can steal money from the government and from all these banks and stuff, those evildoers can do it to you as well. And we need to be careful. There are people go around just intentionally trying to discourage you. Now, I don't know. Some of you may or may not be lawyers. But the way I listen to the radio anymore, you need to either be suing somebody or buying some prescription off of television. Because that's about 90% of all the commercials anymore, isn't it? And we start getting down on things. Watch out those who try to influence you, Paul says. Because they're trying to destroy you and weaken you and hurt you. Do not let that happen. We need to be positive. Is there going to be things going to go wrong in your life? Oh, I guarantee that. Was it not God's own Son that hung between heaven and earth? Not for anything he did, but for what we did. Life is not all that easy. Emma Bombeck wrote a book. It was entitled, If Life is Like a Bowl of Cherries, Why Am I Always in the Pits? And a lot of times we think that's us, don't we? And we find the worst thing and concentrate on it instead of the best thing. Do not do that. Paul says, for zeal, these people are persecuting the church. As for the righteous, based on the law, well, they're faultless. I have to tell you this. If somebody isn't complaining about what you do or picking on your lifestyle, then maybe you're doing the wrong thing. Now, don't go out and do righteous things just to get noticed and get picked on. But sometimes it's okay that people notice you're different from them. And you don't get involved in what they get involved in. You don't talk the way they do, or you don't party the way they do, or whatever it is. Then it's okay to be different. Paul says in verse 5, if someone thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, the Hebrew of Hebrews, regarded the law, a Pharisee, means teacher. As for zeal, I persecuted the church for the righteous based on the law, faultless. Paul says, I did what everybody was supposed to do. But he wasn't happy. And when you do everything you think you're supposed to be doing and you're not happy, maybe we've got the wrong interpretation of what we should be doing. If I listened to the television, which I do, if I paid attention to them, I'd have one of them bicycles you rode. And I had one of them things with the bows and arrows that you lift up. And I'd get on Weight Watchers with somebody, and I'd do that food they sing you to with Marie Osmond. I'd be eating that Marie Osmond food. And I'd wear one of them hats to make my bald spots go away. Well, doesn't all those commercials try to tell you something's wrong with your life? What we got to do is say, what is right with my life? And if not what we're doing now, let's find what he wants us to do. There are answers. Paul was great at what he did. The problem was he was doing the wrong thing for the wrong reason. Yes, he was good at it, but he was good at the wrong thing. For whatever were gains to me, I now consider a loss for the sake of Christ. Oh, I was popular, man, when I was killing all the Christians, Paul said. When I was preaching against the people of the way, people of Christ, I was very popular. They loved me, but I was wrong. What is more, I considered everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord, and for whose sake I've lost all things and consider them garbage. Sometimes we've got to turn our back on what we're used to and say it's wrong. You may have been comfortable. Life may have been easy. And you may have been satisfied because you were doing what the world told you you should do. But do you really have the feeling down in your heart that you're successful in what you want to be doing? That you are satisfied, not comfortable, but satisfied in the way things are going in your life? Or do you need to make them better? Paul said the things I thought were important were garbage. In 2 months, Becky and I are going back for our 50th class reunion. And they're going to bring out a book that we all wrote what we planned on being in our life. Think about it. Can you remember when you were 18, your senior year, and what the plans you had that you were going to do with your life? It'd be curious to know how many of us actually did what we planned. I mean, everybody 6 year old wants to be a policeman or fireman. I mean, that's what you do when you're little. But what about when you're 18 and you think you know all the things of the world? Are you satisfied with what's happened? Paul said, my life was garbage, and I did exactly what I wanted to do. Then I met this fellow named Jesus. But that which is in which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. We hear a lot in the Bible about righteousness. It does not say about goodness. It does not say about obedience to anything in the world. It says about obedience to God. And if there is a hole in your life, if you feel empty, if something doesn't seem to be making sense to you, if you don't feel fulfilled and satisfied, even though you're doing everything you thought you ever wanted to do, then what about finding out what caused that hole? And frequently it's because you've not reached the higher level. You satisfied self, but how's your relationship with God? And that's easy enough to judge. The Old Testament gives you the Ten Commandments. The New Testament, Christ was asked what was the most important commandment. He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And the second is the first, love your neighbor as yourself. If you feel an emptiness in your life, if you're not doing everything you think you maybe should do or want to do, you say, what am I missing? And if the word is God, then there'll never be a true happiness and satisfaction. Oh, we may please ourselves for a while, but it doesn't last. God loved humble people. That's why he made most of us so humble, that we're not reaching too high. Because sometimes we reach too high, we try to reach past God. I'll take care of this myself. I don't need your help, we frequently tell God. When the exact opposite should be, because that's the time we say, God, I need you the most. Now, God is not the Sears and Roebuck catalog. We don't have Sears and Roebuck catalog. God is not Amazon Prime. Maybe you understand that one a little better. And we just can't type in an order and expect it to be delivered the next day with a truck with that swoosh on the side. Sometimes the request is denied. Oh, I wanted growing up, I wanted to be 6 foot six and be the point guard for University of Kentucky basketball. I wanted that so much. God said, we'll keep him at 5 foot seven and he won't have to worry about that job. And it's all right. So I can listen to the radio. And at times, what we want to be so much of is not for us to be. Do we get disappointed and give up? I would hope not. Because I do promise you, when God tells you no for something, something else will be better. I've never told anybody in here, I don't think, this. When I was preaching at the Murdoch Church, I was called by my home church at Broadway Christian Church to go up and interview for the ministry. They called two of us in. They gave the other fellow the job, the preaching job. They said, you want you to stay here and be the associate. I said, no. I'm a preacher, not an associate. A month later, I got the job in Georgetown that I wasn't even looking for. We spent 9 years there. See, God replaced what I thought I wanted and what I thought I needed with something where he wanted me. I promise you, if you allow God, he will put you where you need to be. There's at least a dozen, if not two dozen of people in here that wasn't in this building a year ago or 2 years ago. You found us. Thrilled. I don't care if it was a sign or the parking lot was empty one day and it was raining, you wanted to get out of the rain. I don't know what it was, but God put you where he needed you. Even more, he put you where you need to be. I would hope in the job you've got, he put you where you need to be. I hope with the spouse and the friends you've got, he put you where you need to be. But the question is, do we listen? Or far too often, do we think we're smarter than God and don't need his righteousness with us? The word righteousness. I replace the word religion with righteousness. I don't want you to be religious. That just means you're following the same pattern over and over and over. I want you to be righteous. God wants you to be righteous. The word righteous in the early English translation was actually righteousness. Right wiseness. Whoa. Are we right about our wiseness, our wisdom? Are we looking in the right direction? We talk about Mr. Solomon, King Solomon, supposedly the wisest man ever. all about that event when the two women had the baby and one of them rolled on the baby and smothered the baby and they argued over who the baby was. He said, bring a sword, we'll cut it in half. And the woman, he said, no, I'll give up my baby. And he knew it was hers because she had the love. We call that the wisdom of Solomon. And there are times we can probably be a little more wise in our choices. That means not everything on the buffet you need to eat. I keep telling myself that. I want you to know that righteousness comes from God on the basis of faith. You got to believe. Not everybody's going to be like that TV show, The Millionaire. Remember The Millionaire, black and white years ago? The lawyer came up and said, my benefactor will give you $1 million. You just can't tell anybody where you got it from. And it's just, folks, unless you're really, really good at the lottery, you're not going to get a ticket for $1 million one day. We're going to have to earn and work for it. The opposite is, we're not going to get a ticket for satisfaction and happiness in one day. Sad news is, and I spoke to a lady this week while she was cutting my hair. She just got out of a halfway house. Her second relapse from opioids. She got hurt and had surgery and started taking opioids and got hooked on them and gave up life for a long time and went back and did it again for a long time. She said, I finally had to realize that these things, while they made me feel good, it was for a short time. And I had to get over them. And a lot of things that we get hooked on is for a short time. Our friends or whatever we do is for a short time. We need to realize there's something better out there, Paul says. I want you to know Christ. Yes, know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering. Becoming like him in death and so somehow obtaining to the resurrection from the dead. Since I've been down here, I buried both my father and my mother. And I sang on the way home from the funeral that I preached. Because they were both Christians. And I knew the promise was that one day we'll all be in heaven that belong to him. How's that song go? When we all get to heaven, what a glorious day that will be. That was my song. And that's what we've got to know. That God is waiting for us when we listen to him. So we get the gift of resurrection from the dead. And it doesn't matter if you're 6 days old or 6 years old or 60 or 96. God has a place for you. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and that where I go, you may be also. John chapter 14, verse 2 and following. I love that verse. Because I've buried a lot of family and friends. And one day, they'll be doing the same for me. Oh, by the way, you all are invited to the barbecue picnic for my reception. No tears, no problems, no regrets. It'll be a happy day. Why don't you sing Oh Happy Day by the Edwin Hawkins Singers and UK Fight Song 2. Not that I have already obtained all of this or already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold for that which Christ Jesus told me to. Promise has been made. Did you ever get a card? A gift card? I don't know. I was in the hillbilly country, I guess, in Kentucky. I didn't get paid for weddings. They gave me Cracker Barrel cards. I love Cracker Barrel cards. But it's no good until you get it out of your billfold. I had one that was back in my billfold. It sat there for a year and a half. We used it last Wednesday. Thank God that they don't have an expiration date on them. Use that promise from God of salvation. Not that I've already obtained this or already achieved my goal, but I press on. I go forward to take hold of what Christ took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have been taken hold of. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to go ahead, I press on forward to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. It it's going to get better. The arthritis is still going to be there. Bursitis and rheumatitis and all those things we have, and the heartaches, and there's still going to be disappointments and heart problems and cancers, and we can name dozens of things in our lives that are really bad. And if God spares us to give us more days, eventually we will go to meet him on that judgment day. You know, that's okay for a Christian, because we know that on that judgment day, on that glorious judgment day, when he's come to take everyone back to heaven to be judged, for each of the Christians that gave their lives for him, they said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I take him as my personal Savior, to be buried in the water grave of baptism, just like we saw Miss Tiffany 2 weeks ago. What a glorious day that was. That he'll reach out those nail-scarred hands, and he'll hug us so tight that we'll probably be able to feel the hole in his side where the spear went in, and see the holes in his forehead where the crown of thorns, even though we'd be wearing a crown of gold then, the crown of thorns were. And he'll probably say, well done. But I like better what he's probably going to say, welcome home. That makes me happy. That makes me happy. Our hymn of invitation, Decision Day, gives you an opportunity to decide to serve the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, mind. Miss Pam, what number was it? 486, please. Stand with me and sing hymn number 486 when I get Linda and Pam up here.